In the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club, with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
Now that we're back at it, I would love for you to talk about summer 2024. What I like to call is my Anung Banesi vacant summer, because you had other plans for the month of August that I would love for you to discuss this wonderful opportunity with my guests here. Just to like make it make more sense, I see Anung Banesi every August at the camp job that we work at together, and this summer you had another opportunity to do something else in place of this job. So
yes, so I see Caitlin once a year, mm-hmm. and in 2024 we did not see each other. That year I got accepted into a residency at the Banff Center, I think for creativity, I think is what it's called. I don't remember. Something like that. Banff Center of Arts and Creativity, which is not to gloat, but it's kind of a big deal, especially in music. So I attended the Indigenous Classical Music Residency, and I spent about 2.5 weeks, I think, up in Banff. It was kind of unreal. This is the first kind of big thing that I did as a musician, and to be in a place with musicians in the exact same situation as I am. The cohort I was with specifically, where everyone was in studies for music. It's not a requirement for this program, but everyone in that specific year did study at a post-secondary level. And it was just so neat to see everyone talk about their own relationships with music and their indigeneity, and being able to meet our mentors for the program was also insane, because every single one of our mentors was a big fan of all of them. So I was so hyped to meet them, and now I'm close friends with almost all of them, and to get feedback from some of the composers that I really idolized on the pieces I was working on. So it was kind of cool. It was very cool to just be up in the mountains and exploring the town whenever we wanted. We had meetings every morning where we smudged, we'd have meals together, we'd go swimming, we'd walk around. Like, we got to do whatever we want. It's a residency. It's not here's your schedule, you have to follow it along. It's meant to be a place for us to just create together or by ourselves. It's just a place for us to be and exist together. And I think because of that, it was very uplifting, and it was very healing, and well, it's Banff, so it's also really gorgeous.
Hell yeah. I know, obviously, how instrumental, lack of a better term, mentors are in your music performance practice, and how you interacted with a lot of mentors, different kinds, in your residency as well. And the first time I ever like knew you and like knew who you were and met you, you were in a mentorship role yourself with youth at the camp that we worked at. What would you say mentorship means to you regarding like intergenerational connection?
I think it's about support and discovery. And that's more apparent the more I go through this journey of education, specifically post-secondary education. But working with kids in a musical sense, in any sense, honestly, I think it's more eye-opening to what being a mentor is like, whether it's with kids or adults or young adults. I feel like it's hard to put words to it sometimes. The support aspect is just, don't be scared to learn, mm-hmm. right? Learning is, this is something I say all the time, actually. I say this to a lot of friends in university that are struggling with motivation or discipline. I've said this to other teachers or other colleagues in my industry, and I swear I will die on this hill. And what I always say is that education is a privilege, but it's a right. Everyone has the right for education, right? Earlier, we talked about how getting into music school is like gatekeeping because you're expected to be at a certain level and be able to afford lessons to get there, all these things. But when I say education is a privilege, I mean more like take it for granted. You don't have to be in university if you don't want to. But if you're there and maybe you hate what you're studying, I was like, then take other courses for electives. Like, put the work in now because you're going to feel really proud of yourself by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people mm-hmm. don't get to go to university like we do.
Yeah.
Right? Some people can't afford it and they really want to. And some people can afford it and they don't want to. When I say education is a privilege, that also comes to being a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't just become a mentor because you get this God complex of being a professor in a post-secondary institute and then it looks good on your resume. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's being a section leader in your ensemble. You're there to support your section and giving them advice when they need to. But it's also about learning from your pupil and whoever you are mentoring, right? When I work with kids at the camp that we are at, these kids are way younger than I am, but I learn from them every single year. They might be the same age group, but every kid is so individual. So being a mentor is about supporting them in their own discovery, whether that's themselves or whether that's musically or education-wise. But it's also your opportunity to learn your own ability to be a mentor and to teach, especially different people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great answer. Oh, my God.
So wise.
Yeah. Yes, literally. Did I ever tell you about how my elder called me wise when I was like 17?
Oh my God. What a flex.
I'm like, Pat, just call me sad. I kid. Thank you. It really impacted me, really impacted my life thus far. That being said, those beautiful words. Talk to me about your poem that you brought me.
The poem. I struggled to write this for so long. I was like, I don't know what to write about.
Yes,
I forgot I had to do this like last minute. And then it just came. I was like, but I'm very much a it comes to me kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was going to push it off, but I knew that if it was time crunch, you'd tell me. And I would have like kicked my butt into gear. When I compose music, I only compose if I want to.
Oh, totally.
So like, I've only taken one commission because I was like, yeah, I'll do it because I want to. But if I don't want to do it, it's not going to happen.
I respect that. I respect that.
Right? So this poem, I feel like currently where I'm at in life is I'm taking a break from school. And again, that was to kind of come home and learn to live again. Because school will ruin you. You don't have a regular sleep schedule. All you do is practice. And when you're in music school, all you do is learn to criticize yourself. And when that's all you're doing every single day.
I never sat with that, huh?
Mm-hmm. This is what I tell people when they ask me about music school. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of great things. It's like what they don't realize, like with the mental health part, is that we learn to criticize ourselves. They
that's
want
kind
us
of like
to
the
be
backbone
efficient.
Of the degree.
Exactly. They want us to be independent and self-sufficient. You know what that means? I go into a practice room, I record myself play, and then I listen to it, and I listen for the things that I need to improve on. And then that becomes your mindset for the majority of your day in your life because you're a full-time student, and that's all you do with your free time. I find that for me, that starts to creep into my personal life. And music is very personal to me, so it was very hard to find the boundaries of school and like my personal life when my personal life is also just music focused.
Mm-hmm.
So then I found that like my mental health was just starting to get really bad mm-hmm. and trying to validate myself in like, okay, like I'm feeling very lonely way over here on the other side of Southern Ontario with no culture and no family around. Like, maybe I just want my mom to cook me dinner one night, you know?
Yeah.
It's like those little moments and being home for a few months now, it's like, yeah, feeling those things made sense for the situation I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I realized just how much I actually need my support from my community and my culture and my family. I'm not saying my family doesn't support me. It's like the actual proximity of being able to see my family over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. My sister, it's a different kind of support.
Exactly, right? I'm like, that's how I grew up. That's how I grew up with high school, was having the support of my family, everything. Even when I was in Thunder Bay, I had the support of my family and my culture. So I think trying to go somewhere else, I didn't realize like that I took that for granted mm-hmm. in a bad way.
Oh, absolutely.
So this poem specifically is kind of just about like, even though like I'm back home and like I am feeling a lot better, like mentally, and just being able to reflect and make other decisions about my, the rest of my educational career. It's like, I live in the middle of nowhere. It's Treaty 3. Like, the closest city is 4 hours away, right? Like,
there's nothing here. I know, I checked.
Exactly. There's nothing here, but I love it because it's quiet and it's home. But there is still like a sense of loneliness, but it's also trying to find the comfort in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a specific line. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's just along the lines of building a life in, I want to say it's, the word was motion. And it's just a specific section about how I keep myself busy, which I always do. I will always keep myself busy, because when I'm not busy, that's when you start to sit with your thoughts a little too much. By the end of it, it's just this big reflection of, okay, I have a lot of time to myself. Even though I'm home and I'm working a lot, when I have days off, I'll have like 5 days off in a row rather than just a weekend. So I still have time to myself. And it's just, there's a lot of reflecting about my actions and the way that I've reacted and responded to things in the past, and really thinking about why I reacted that way and how I could, I don't want to say how I could do better going forward, but like just understanding it, I think, helps me navigate my own thoughts and feelings. But changing, I'm basically relearning my relationship with myself to not being so toxic and critical of myself and my behaviors and my actions and the words that I say to people. It's more about, yeah, I did that because of this, and that's okay, but that didn't feel good. We don't want to be back in that mindset. So it just comes to trying to find comfort in the loneliness and how to combat that, basically. It's just a big reflection.
Oh, hell yeah. Mirror world, if you will.
Mirror world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very excited to sound design for this. I'm excited too. My last sound art for Tegan's poem was very exciting. It's also kind of paralleling what I'm doing in one of my classes right now in sound design, where I'm like, I get to decide whether I want to like really emphasize the realism or the surrealism of the situation, and how sound can kind of like be like the guiding for that.
Yeah.
So it really makes me think that whole concept of just like being in your mind too much, being with yourself too much, what that can manifest.
Right.
Those themes of course, and I mean, lo and behold, who hasn't experienced this? I've experienced that so vividly and so viscerally. So,
right.
I hope our hearts are like two flutterby fairies in this collaboration.
I think they are. I think
yes! We're yes. Well, with that, without further ado, we're gonna have one more music break with Power by Lady Midnight.
Power of your influence to correct the misgivings of three generations. Banker. Ooh, show 'em work that thing, girl. Power to your nature. She don't need no favors. Offers on the table. Every day, she works every day. Every day. For nobody take what you now know. Can't nobody break the ground you're on. Can't nobody put a claim on what you put your name on. Put you put your name.
Want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media? You are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
And with that being said, here we have Lost in Silence by Nung Benesi, sound design by Caitlin Terrell.
I tell people I like to keep myself busy. Like it's a personality, like it's a hobby, like it's something I chose. I tell people, I just hate being bored. But boredom isn't the problem. It's the silence. Because when everything stops and the calendar empties and the messages slow down, when there's no one asking anything of me, I'm left alone with someone I don't know. Me. And it's strange because I don't know what to do with him. Like, what do I even do for fun? I don't want, oh, that sounds good. I don't want, yep, looks good to me. I don't want what makes me seem interesting, but something that genuinely feels like me. So I keep moving. If I stack enough days on top of each other, I won't fall through the cracks, right? I don't know what to do. Studying, working, hanging out, cleaning, having conversations that almost have meaning. If I keep my life so full, there's no room left to ask myself, who am I when no one is watching? Who am I when no one is listening? Who am I when I'm all alone? And I wish I had an answer, something soft, something certain, something I could hold like a name, but instead, all I get is static. I sit in my room sometimes and it feels so empty, like the walls are waiting, like the air is asking me to become something and I don't know how. So I scroll, I snack, I nap, I restart the day without leaving my bed. Anything, just anything to avoid sitting still long enough to meet myself. Because what if there's nothing there? What if I built a life out of motion and never built a home inside of it? And I think that's what scares me. Not being alone, but not knowing who I am still. But sometimes in the quiet, there's a glimpse. Not an answer, not a revelation, just a feeling. Like something inside me isn't gone. It's just waiting. Patient, like breath, like spirit. Like it already knows my name, even if I forgot it. And maybe I don't have to find myself all at once. Maybe I can meet myself the way you meet someone new. Slowly, with curiosity, with awkward questions, with gentle honesty. Maybe lost isn't empty. Maybe it's just space. And maybe one day, when the static leaves, I won't be afraid to stay.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
bird note. The American tree sparrow is a common winter visitor in the northern U.S., but there's more to this little brown bird than meets the eye. Despite their name, American tree sparrows stay close to the ground. They'll even nest directly on the ground in open shrublands of Alaska and northern Canada. In their summer home, the sparrows raise their young on protein-packed bugs and juicy insects. In winter, American tree sparrows rely on seeds from grasses, wildflowers, and bird feeders, especially millet. When foraging, they'll kick through leaf litter with their powerful feet and beat seed heads open with their wings. You'll often find them foraging in mixed flocks with other species. Keep an eye out for a little brown sparrow with a dark spot on its cream-colored chest and a two-toned bill that's black on top and yellow underneath. Though American tree sparrows are common in North America, their populations have steeply declined since the 1970s. You can welcome these birds to your neighborhood by growing native plants, keeping cats indoors, and filling bird feeders with a millet-rich seed mix. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. This episode is dedicated in memory of Pat and Joanne Adams of Hartville, Ohio, who enjoyed caring for backyard birds and shared that joy with others.